Okay. We're being mamshich a little bit within the introduction to the Yochid Tzadikim. We had the opportunity to speak a little bit about Rav Yaakov Emden, which is a sort of an inexhaustible source of very, very interesting life experiences that we can also glean from and learn from. Again, we mentioned Rav Yaakov Emden here in his Sefer Migdal Oz, where he quotes quite extensively from the Orech Tzadikim. So, last week we pointed out that Rav Yaakov Emden, in his writings, tells us about the various travails and troubles that he went through growing up, starting from the time of his birth. Talks about the various bouts of depression and the melancholia and so on and so forth, in addition to all the types of maladies and types of illnesses and types of sicknesses that he went through. In addition to that, also he says that the various troubles that compounded his father's experiences, which also caused various experiences of sort of like depression and almost very serious illness on behalf of his father, where it was a tikufa where they thought that his father might not even make it. His father was the Chacham Tzvi, of course, one of the foremost Gedolei Yisrael. Rav Yaakov Emden points out that in his teens, that his father accepted a rabbinical position in Amsterdam. That was one of the places that the Chacham Tzvi was the Rav over there. And he was involved in quite a number of controversies. We mentioned last week there was the controversy about the two chazonim, the two cantors. And then he points out, but then there was a second controversy. And the second controversy basically was a controversy, he says, that went far beyond the borders of the Amsterdam community. He says, and it was really directly responsible. That second controversy was directly responsible for the fact that the Chacham Tzvi prematurely departed from Amsterdam. Although basically, according it seems to contract and so on, he would have stayed there many more years. He points out that in the year it was 1713. He writes that in the year 1713, he says, a person by the name, we mentioned his name last week, a person by the name of Nehemiah Chia Chayon arrives in Amsterdam. This Nehemiah Chayon, on one hand, was a Baal Mekubal, a person who had a lot of knowledge in Kabbalah. The problem was that he was an apikoiris. The reason why he was an apikoiris is because he was a Sabbatian. Sabbatian means those who followed Shabbos Tzvi. And he was very, very strong Sabbatian, although in the outside, Klapachutz, he did not reveal it or did not try to reveal to show it, because that's how they worked. They worked by concealing their true identity and then being able to trap people into their snare, into their trap, and so on. But if one would go through and look at many of the writings, you would see a lot of the writings very much in depth and a lot of knowledge in the areas of Kabbalah. But as you say, you have to be able to read between the lines, and sometimes even more than between the lines, to be able to really recognize, in fact, what is the root and what is the mission, what is the agenda of these writings and so on. So this person by the name of Nehemiah Chayon arrives in Amsterdam. And a great kanoi, Rav Moshe Chagiz, great kanoi, actually coming from Eretz Yisrael, who came to raise money actually, but once he arrives in Germany, he lives in Hamburg and so on other places, and he gets caught up in seeing various issues. He was a tremendous loichem, he was a very strong, opinionated person. When I say opinionated, means not something, an opinion, wrong opinion, dafke. He was a person who really stood up for what he believed was right, no matter what the expense, no matter what the price was. And not only that, he also garnered aid and solicited help from anyone to be able to help him in his mission to be successful as much as possible in that which he felt very strongly that he's supposed to achieve. I believe we had mentioned that one of the fiercest opponents was against the Ramchal. Ramchal suffered immensely. You can really say tremendously from Rav Moshe Chagiz, because Rav Moshe Chagiz again suspected Ramchal also as being a Sabbatian. And therefore, he wrote of them, as he say, ad chormam, until the end. And not only that, but he also received and solicited the aid of the Rabboni Venezia, the Rabbonim of Venice in that time. Talk about the 1700s, early 1700s. And in fact, they went along with Moshe Chayis in order to, up to the point of even threatening to put him in Cheirim, to excommunicate him, the Ramchal. And because so, you can imagine all the tzoras that the Ramchal had, Moshe Chaim Litzato, the Baal, Mesilas Yeshar, and many other Svarim had. This same Moshe Chayis happened to be in Amsterdam the time the Chacham Tzvi arrives in Amsterdam. He happens to be there. And when this Nehemiah Chayon arrives in Amsterdam, so immediately, he says he was identified as being a Shabbosai Tzvi, being a follower of Shabbosai Tzvi. And there was strong against, very, very serious introspection and searching to find out if anybody has any hidden agenda. And he was very strongly suspected. And the Chacham Tzvi, by the way, after reading some of Chayon's words, reading some of the writings of it, so he comes out very strongly opposes, as saying that Nehemiah Chayon is a very dangerous, he says, Sabbatian, he says, he's an apikoris, he's a heretic, and so on. So what happened was that on July 23rd, 1713, the Chacham Tzvi joins forces with the Moshe Chayis in order to excommunicate, to put Nehemiah Chayon. Not only that, Chacham Tzvi insisted that the writings be burned, that the writings of Nehemiah Chayon be burned, and repeated the demand a second time, 2 weeks later, putting him again in Cheirim. I don't know what that means, putting him a second time in Cheirim, but then putting him a second time and repeated the demand to have all of his writings being burned. What happened as a result of this, not too long after, so the Sephardic community, because the Chacham Tzvi was the Rav in Amsterdam from the Ashkenazi community. Amsterdam was a major Jewish community that has both kehilos, had a major Sephardi population, and it mentioned that the Rav of the Sephardi population was named by the person of Shlomo Ayalon. That was his name, and this correspondence between him and the Knesset Yecheskel, or Yecheskel Katzenelnboim, the Knesset Yecheskel, and between him, so no one to sneeze at, with Shlomo Ayalon, but he did not agree with the Chacham Tzvi. As a matter of fact, the whole Sephardi community, which, by the way, initially, they did accept the opinion of the Chacham Tzvi about Nehemiah Chayon, and Lamaisa later on, they publicly decided in favor of Chayon, against the Chacham Tzvi. And so far, that they said that anyone who opposes him becomes our enemy as well. Which that means that the battle lines were clearly drawn, and it meant that was the entire Sephardi community was against the Chacham Tzvi. Because they figured that he's climbing up and barking up the wrong tree. Like to someone who is like a paranoia. Anybody, you know, that seems to have any connection, right away, you suspect him. You don't question anybody. And they felt that he's being innocently being suspected. Chacham Tzvi Lamaise refused to rest. And they didn't want, he wasn't even interested to hear the explanation of Chayon, because he was convinced that this is what he was. And therefore, the Chacham Tzvi also ignored, by the way, Hazmonis Ladin. The Sephardi community sent Hazmonis to summon the Chacham Tzvi to come to the Bezdin, to the Sephardi Bezdin. He ignored it. Lamaise, after he continued to reject the offer to recant, so now what they did was they put the Chacham Tzvi in Cheirim, the Sephardi community. This controversy, Lumaise, which also involved other leading Rabbonim from major cities and so on, Chacham Tzvi sees that he's being publicly insulted, and he also saw he was lacking the support of his colleagues and even the members of his own Ashkenazi community. They thought that maybe he's just a wild person, and so on for them. And facing the pressure also of local authorities, because they brought local authorities into the situation, Chacham Tzvi found that his residence in Amsterdam would be intolerable. And mainly he leaves. They arrived, as we said, there. Actually, they arrived in July. Imagine, July 1713, 6 months later, in January 1714, he leaves already. So short-lived with the Chacham Tzvi Tak in Amsterdam, you can just imagine. That was the time Rabbi Yanki Venman was 15 years old. And just imagine, he says, myself as a teenager, 15 years old, seeing what my father's sorrows, my father had to go through, only because his kavanah was totally Shem Shemayim, and my father was right, he says. Turned out later that he was a Sabbatian, he was a Shabbos Tzinik. Later on, turns out very clearly, everybody agreed. And they say, all major Gedolius all the time, they all agreed. But what the others failed to notice, my father already noticed right from the very first beginning, but he had to suffer for his beliefs, because he stood up for his beliefs, and did not, no matter what the situation, whatever the price was. But the Rav Yankelevin says, going through that experience at that age of 15, he says, really, he says, affected him, he says, for the rest of his life. Because the tsar and the pain and that experience was something that was always with him. It's just interesting to point out, so Rav Yankelevin is 15 years old of that experience. When he's writing about it, it's 50 years later. 50 years later. And he writes, 50 years later, it has already been heard and is known, he says, among those are still alive 50 years later, who well remember, he says, the matters of the difficult event, which has still not grown old. In other words, nobody has forgotten them. Now, the Chacham Tzvi, Yankelevin imagines that just like he remembers it, everybody else also remembers it. But it's so vividly, and by the way he writes it, it's not just remembering, the way he writes it, 50 years later, is with such detail and expressing pain, one can imagine that he was still feeling the pain 50 years later. It's one thing just to bring back old memories and to write about it, but he's writing it as if, you know, it's a diary, that's something that happened 50 years later, that's when he's writing about it. So we can truly imagine how much it affected him. But just point out one nekuda, and that is that Rav Yankelevin always, he says, invoked. He always invoked his father's behavior. In other words, this taught him. Because you know, Rabbi Yankelevin was a tremendous kenoi in his own right, following the same Milchama, suspecting anyone and anyone who it might be. Right? Regarding being a follower of Shabbat Tzvi, and namely, he took on Rabbi Yonison Eibishitz, as we know. The strength and the power and the fervor that Rabbi Yankelevin took in this Milchama, fighting Rabbi Yonison Eibishitz, because his father was his model, his role model. 15 years old, at the age of 15, he says, watching to see how his father's behavior regarding, he says, Nechemya Chayon, that controversy, that basically became the model which he emulated in his own later struggle with Rabbi Yonison Eibishitz. So that really, that 15-year-old, when he was 15 years old, that experience was something that really, that he really, really absorbed. So, as I say, we'll move on now. But Bez Hashem will continue on, because it's very fascinating, as a matter of fact, what happened further with Rabbi Yankelevin regarding these situations. But again, this is just a little bit, again, if you imagine, you get Gedolei Yisrael, what they went through, and nevertheless, they made the decision that, come what may, but they have to say, and they have to voice the opinion, what the Dvar Hashem is. And that, of course, was Rabbi Yankelevin. We go, Rabbi, here to the Orech HaTzadikim, Daf Mem Beis. In the bottom, on Daf Mem Beis, in the bottom of the Tzadikim, we are in the middle of Shar HaHava. The Shar HaHava, the Shar of Love. Remember, he spoke about the different levels of Ahava, natural Ahava. People have Ahava, they have love to many things. A person has love to his children. Very natural, a person has love to his children. Very natural person has love to members of his family, close to relatives. Person has ahava to his wife. Person has ahavas momen. All different types of ahava. And Rabbi Yankelevin points out that even the most innocent, natural types of love can be very destructive if it's not controlled. And just to give you the most common example, just of one of many that he points out into each level of inyonim of ahava. Well, we can understand easily. The easiest part is to understand what someone who has a havas moment, somebody really who loves money, we can understand how destructive that could be. Because, of course, that will control and force him to do many, many things which are not appropriate. But one having uncontrolled love even to one's children can be also very destructive, because it means that he will never deny them anything. Because being that his love of children, right, becomes to such an extent that he can't say no to them. And therefore he does not criticize them, he does not teach them, he does not guide them, but rather gives them a free-for-all and allows them to behave in the way that they choose, in the manner they choose, without instructing them and guiding them to tell them what's right. To teach them the difference between right and wrong. Because that is ahava that is unbridled, that is unchained, and which is uncontrolled. And therefore now he's going to point out, he's going to go step by step in the different levels of ahava, how to be able to utilize ahava in its proper way, to utilize the mid of ahava, the mid of love in every area, appropriately, and to be able to therefore use it in a positive way. So Rav Tzadikim says, Haroitzel hi molet mipach yokush. A person wishes to escape the trap of all of these loves, he says, of kol ho ahava so ele. Because we pointed out, any ahava, no matter how innocent it appears to be, But if it's not controlled, as pointed out, if it's not channeled in the right direction, they turn destructive. So this is very easy to fall in the trap. So the Orchid Tzadikin says, if a person wants to escape, he says, the trap of these different types of ahavos, Sar Chochma Gedoyla, a person has to use great wisdom, Ve'imus Rav, and you have to use courage. Pen Yelochei B'Shchisoysom, because you may become entrapped, he says, you may become entrapped, he says, in the corruption of it. B'Shchisoysom, Dashchosen. Kikolo Ahavos Eile, because it's not enough, he said, you control one, because he pointed out there's so many different levels. As we said, so many different types of ahava. So it's all these ahava, he says, makifa, he says, leiv odom. They surround the heart of a person, and they can take control of the heart of a person. So it's not enough merely to take care of one area, of one type of ahava. V'im yitcha ahava achas ishtayim mekirboi. So if he only manages, let's say, to expel from his midst only one type of ahava, adayinu ahava is anishorois, so now the remaining ahava, his remaining areas of love that he did not conquer, yirdefuhu me'oir el choshech, they'll drive him from light to darkness. So therefore a person really has to concentrate on each and every level of ahava, to utilize it, and to use it in the proper way, as he's going to point out. Al ken yesh lo lamedcho. Therefore it's important, he says, that I have to teach you. Shetiye zohir v'zoris. You should be careful. And zoris means you should be very expeditious. V'shtamesh b'chol ahav yisraelo. To use them the right way. To use all of these different ahavos. L'das b'hem darkei Hashem baruch hu. Of course, the most positive way is to generate, to channel all the natural ahavos to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu only better, in a better way. And he goes on to point out. So take one type of ahava. Ahavas bonos. What should be the tailoring way of how a person exercises and utilizes the love, the natural love that a father has to a child, to children? Ahavas bonos, he says, the ahava that a father has to his children, ti al derech zeh, should be, he says, the following way. Sheyachshoiv, it should cause him to give thought, lahadrich bonov bedarkei mishpat. You know, if you really truly love your children, teach them to conduct their lives in an erlich way, with honesty. Darkei mishpat. Because you don't really love them otherwise. True love means that you're going to guide them, you're going to lead them the proper path. Bedarkei mishpat. True love means that you're going to make sure that they stay on the right path. You steer them on the right path. If you have true ahava to your children, you will teach them the ways of Hashem, how to serve Hashem better. You notice he points out two things. He says, Lahadrich, he says, to lead them in darkei hamishpat, ways of justice. And he also says, Ulalam do masei avodes Hashem. So what he means to say is that ahava mandates that you teach your children to behave properly, bin odom lachaveroi, and bin odom lamokim. So therefore, Lahadrich bono bedarkei hamishpat, that's bin odom lachaveroi. Bedarkei hamishpat. Ways of justice. But also, Lalam de Masa Avedis Hashem. That is Benodim Lamokim. And not only that, it's not even enough that you teach them that they behave while you're alive. You have to teach them, and not only that, give them a tzavah, give them a commandment that you expect that they continue this lifestyle even when you're long gone. That they continue this legacy. Well, the tzavah is bonof. And you leave a command. Achrov Lavoidis Hashem Baruch Hu, that they continue even after him, that they will continue to serve Hashem and to behave properly, to make a Kiddush Hashem, to be someone who really stands out as being an upright person. Shenema, the Pesuk says in Yeshaya, Ov Labonim. Yeshaya Novi says the obligations of a father to children, to sons, daughters, doesn't make a difference. Ov Labonim Yoidia El Amitecho. A father will educate his children to your truth. So says the Novi. That's what it means to be a father. Father will educate his children to know the truth of Hashem. To know the truth how Hashem expects you to behave. Uksiv. The other posuk says, Voidatam levanecho v'levnei vanecho. Make the words of the Torah. Words of the Torah, everything. Benod Ramokim, Benod Machaveroi, all the aspects of the Torah. Teach it to your children, but not just to them. But also levnei vanecho, also to your grandchildren. Interesting thing, that the Baal Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Shlomo Gansfried, the Machaber of the Sefer Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, of the many, many Sforim they wrote, is a Sefer called Apirion. So it's called Apirion Al HaTorah. You may not know, from the Shlomo Gansfried, it was a Goyen Otzumoi, tremendous Goyen. besides the Mechaber, the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch, which is not an easy Sefer. It's easy to read it once it's written down. But the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch, basically what it is, he took all of Shulchan Aruch, I mean all. Yeah, from every area of Shulchan Aruch, which is very, very practical, and was able to glean and to pick out that which he felt was necessary, to be able to have a handle on all areas of Shulchan Aruch. It's a tremendous thing. The greatest chacham is when things appear to be easy, to make it look easy, but to be able to ask you to be that creative and to be able to do that takes the person which is a master. In addition to that, he wrote the sefer which is called Lechem, right? Lechem, which is called Lechem Esama, which is a sefer on Hilchas Nida, going through the entire the Halachos of Nida. You have the Shulchan Aruch on top and his beer on the bottom. You have also which is sefer Ahole Shem, which is a text which is used by Kamat all Mesadre Gittin, people involved in being Mesadre Gittin, which deals with Shemus, Noshim, and Anoshim, and all the various complicated shilas that come out with questions in terms of how to write the names properly in Gittin. Is a whole shame for the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. All the Sefer Pnei Shloim al Hashas. Pnei Shloim. Yom Tzatz Bava Basra, which is a classic, which is learned in all the Olam HaYeshivas. Very, very lumdish Sefer. Pnei Shloim. And the Mechon Yishalayim in Eretz Yisrael, subsequently, years ago, have reprinted from Kizveyad and other Masechtas as well, Masechtas Pesachim and so on, the Sefer Pnei Shloim. Also Safris, the classical Sefer, for Sefer to be a Sefer, the Sefer Keses a Sefer. That's if Shloim Gansrit wants to be a Sefer, to learn the halachas of Safris, that's the classic, that's the text, Keses a Sefer. He received the Haskoma from the Chassam Sefer. He was a contemporary of the Chassam Sefer. And he received a Haskoma of the Chassam Sefer, and the Chassam Sefer, seeing the Sefer, not only gave him Haskoma, Chassam Sefer says, from now on, anybody who wishes to be a Sefer has to learn this Sefer. So the Chassam Sefer. It's written in the Haskoma. From now on, this is so authoritative and it's so clear that from now on, whoever wishes to be a Sefer, he says, I say, you don't give him a smicha on Safaris unless you know he went through this Sefer. So he says, anyway, going back to the Sefer period, the Sefer Ala Toiv Reb Shlomo Gansri, we find the Losha many times, teach your children and grandchildren. I mean, why should you have to teach your grandchildren? You're teaching your children, right? There's a chiv of a father to teach children. Well, your children, they're going to be fathers, so they're going to teach their children. So why is it the obligation of the grandfather to teach the grandchild? The same way you as a father are teaching your child, well, he will teach his child. So why the grandfather with the grandchild? Your child is also a father like you are. So he has his own obligation to teach his children. Shlomo Gansri says something very beautiful. You know the obligation, know how far the obligation of a father to teach his children goes, the extent of the obligation. The obligation of a father to teach his children is in such a way that the child will be inspired to teach his own children. In other words, if you only taught your child in a way, but the child will not have a feeling, will not have a feeling to want to teach it further, then there's something lacking in your own chinuch to him. Doesn't mean that you teach your grandchildren. You'll teach your children, which will guarantee it will go down to the grandchildren. That is the extent of the chinuch that a father teaches his children. That teaching will go further. Because you inspire your children to want to teach it further. That's the idea. We find Avraham Avinu also. It says, Kiryadativ. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Rashi says, in Chumash Kiryadati means, I love him. Loshen Chibur. The reason that he has endeared himself to me. Avraham Avinu has endeared himself to me. Biloman, because Hashi Yitzav is one of his Beis HaYachrov, Bishomru Derech Hashem. They will keep the Derech Hashem. Once heard from an Odom Choshev, Avraham Avinu is teaching his family, is born of his Beis HaYachrov, Bishomru Derech Hashem. And it says later, Lasa Shidoko Mishpat. Lasa Shidoko Mishpat. So many, many times people do the right thing. Many times people do the right thing, but the means of doing it is not so kosher. Many times people, right? They have money, they'll build binyonim, they'll give tzedakah, they'll give charity, hospitals, yeshivas, whatever it is. However, the means of Avraham Avinu was told by Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, not told, to the opposite. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I preach to Avraham Avinu, not only teaches them the end result, the shomru derech Hashem. The derech is the way of getting there. Many times the way of how you got there is not always so kosher. The end result is gewaldig many times. Yeah, it's tremendous. But it's not enough. It's the shomru derech Hashem lasei tzedakah mishpat. The derech of how you're doing tzedakah mishpat, that's also very important. Teaching them the derech. So the means to an end is also equally important. So in any case, so that's true ahavas bonav. True ahavas bonav is Not just like shower them with gifts and matonis and just giving them everything, writing checks all the time. So Havat Bon, the true is making them, molding them to be, right, to closest perfection as possible in terms of their behavior between Odom HaChaver and Odom Lamokim. Ahavas Momoin. Now what about Ahavas Momoin? How does that supposed to manifest itself? The Ahava that a person has to money. So he says, Ahavas Momoin Tiyal Derozeh. The love of money should take the form. He says, should take the form. She says, Sheyoyhev Momoinoi, that a person would love his money in the extent. Laman, he says, Ashlo Yachvoid Momoin Acherim. He says, the Ahava of Momoin has to be in a way that his own moment, right, is important to him, but not somebody else's moment. Because once a person has the love of money, there are no boundaries. My money, his money, it's all the same. He loves money. But a Ahava's moment, of course, has to go take the form where it limits itself to his money, but not to anybody else's money. As a result, he should not have a need, should not have a need to rob and steal. Because the love of money limits it only to anything that is his, but not which does not belong to him. But also, he should not have a need to receive charity. A person should not live his life in a way, if he has choice, that he should have a need. A person should always try to be in a position to rather be a giver than to be a taker, if you can only help it. And it all depends many, many times of how a person, quote, squanders his money. At the end of the day, that he may come to a point where he has to take tzedakah. So have to be careful. Don't lead your life in a way where you come to a point where you're going to have a need to rob or steal, or to be mekabel tzedakah, to receive tzedakah. And as it goes on further, and therefore, what should the primary use of your money be for? What should the primary use? Ach mishalo yifanes acherim. He says, one should see to it that the money that he has should be able to sustain others, to share it with others. The yal bishaniim, he should clothe poor people, v'yachilim, and he should feed them. In addition to that, v'yachzu b'mamoinu ilom di toyer yir Hashem. He should try to support with his money people are learning Torah, where yir shemayim. In addition to that also, the Kodesh Baruch Hu blessed him with wealth, so maybe, if possible, take some time off. Maybe you don't have to work 24 hours a day if you're blessed with wealth. Maybe take some time off to be able to serve Hashem a little more in order to put more time into your spiritual life. As he says, the Gamach Mas Oshroi, he says, Yifana Atzmoi Me'iske Oilam Azeh. A person should be able to free himself, right, from some of the worldly affairs. Look, if you could afford it, so do something with your life. The Ikvaitim L'Torah, set aside more time for learning. L'Kai Mitzvahs. Hol V'yeshtipik B'yodoi, because you have the wherewithal, you have the ability. V'yiftach B'roiv Cheiloi L'Hizgoyis. In addition, a person should not attach trust in his great wealth to be a source of pride. Ach Yikne B'memoinoi HaKole, but rather, he should realize money is something that's short-lived. Even if he'd be rich all his life, so how much is it? 80 years old, 90. In relation to eternity, it's nothing. It's short-lived. So use that money, which is short-lived money, use it to acquire Chai Olam Habo, to acquire Chai Olam Habo, which is eternal. Which it means to say in a nutshell is like this. Yes, a person should love money. You know why? Should love money because of the good that you can do with it. That's the nekudah. Yeah, be an oyev moment. Be an oyev moment because of the good that you can do with it. And be an oyev moment because through money is a means that can bring you to Olam Haba. If you utilize your money properly, it will bring you to the next world. It will have a tremendous chelik, a tremendous share in Olam Haba. Talks about the person should not put himself in a position that he should have to take tzedakah. Of course, if he can help it. Not always the person, of course, has a choice. But the interesting thing is that Rav Dessler, just to give you a shtickel thing, writes in one of his essays, many, many things, talks about human behavior. But as a hagdoma to that, Rav Simcha Wasserman, Zechoyim Lebrocha, as I mentioned many times, those who were here many, many years ago, Simcha Wasserman used to come here to Kew Garden Hills as well, to many other communities, to spend time here, spend quite a few Shabbos, and we had the schus to have him at the Shabbos table, and It was just a tremendous experience when he would speak about his father, of course, the illustrious Rabbi Chanan Wasserman. And Rav Simcha himself was an Odom Gadol in his own right, but he was a tznizdige mensch, he was a behaltere mensch, a person that would sort of certainly would not show his gavlus and so on and so forth. I remember, this is many, many years ago, sitting one Friday night, and we were discussing a toisis in a Avodah Zarah. I remember clearly, it was Daf Yud Aleph. Talks about B'chukaseim Lo Yisaleichu. And I guess he slipped. He says, "Yeah, yeah." Toys says, "V'yeshloim metrei gav nechuka," and he goes on. And he stops. He was saying a lot of the toys with his lotion. It was just came out naturally. So he slipped, and then he said, "Okay, just stop there." Simcha Wasserman. Simcha Wasserman did not have any children. Him and his wife. They did not have any children. He said many times, in truth is, they had thousands of children. These were the Talmidim, of course, that he had, because he was always a Rosh Yeshiva many, many years, still in France, by the way, after the war. In Strasbourg in France, and then, of course, in Los Angeles, and then Eretz Yisrael, which is to this day, which we have the Yeshiva over there. But no biological children. So you can imagine, so husband and wife, they had each other. That's what they had. Husband and wife, they actually had each other. So the Rebbeson would always be mispalish. He would always say that Mispalish says, when the time comes to leave this world, she says, Mispalish says that I should go first before Absimcha. So the time comes, she said, Mispalish that I should go first before him. Why? Because if he goes first, he says, I cannot bear, she says, to be here in this world alone without him. So if the time comes to go, I'd rather go first. I shouldn't have to be here alone without him. Then she reconsidered. And she changed her tefillah. And she said, no, no, no. He says, she made a cheshbon, he says that if she goes first and then Rav Simcha passes away, there'll be no one left to sit Shiva for him. But if Rav Simcha goes first, she at least will be able to sit Shiva. So for that reason, she changed her tefillah. The time comes, let Rav Simcha go a little bit earlier. So she should be able to sit Shiva. So, you know, Rabbi Isai, it's after Sukkot that I have your tzeit, and there's a Chodesh Cheshvan. I remember it was the year Tovshin on Gimel 1993. It was in Cheshvan, and like anybody who's walking down the streets of Yerushalayim, when there's a Leviah taking place, you see them going through Yerushalayim with loudspeakers, announcing. This is the way they do it, on top of the roof of the car. And I hear the announcement, the Petir of Simcha Wasserman. It's a Chodesh Cheshvan. And right away, of course, you hear where it is, go to the yeshiva. I made the way to the yeshiva as well. You could realize hundreds and hundreds of people, Talmidim, and the loudspeakers, the spadim, people couldn't fit inside. You'd hear the spadim outside. And I found out that, in fact, Simcha Wasserman, he passed away first. He passed away first like the tefillah of the Rebbeson. But you know what? She sat shiva, and she passed away right after. She lived just as long to sit shiva for him. Both in Cheshvan. Mamish, one after the other. You think about it. What was her first feeling? What was the second feeling? The first feeling was that she should pass away first because she can't bear to be without him. In that sense, she was saying, he says, I was worried about me, what's better for me. But maybe more important than what's better for me, I should be considering what's better for him. And that's why I try to bring what Rav Dessler says. A person should rather be a noisin, not a noitil. A person should be a giver, not a taker. If a person is always concerned about himself, then you're a taker. That's what you're looking for. What's in it here for me? What can I take out of this experience? How can it benefit me? But then she reconsidered. It's more important what I can do, what I can be makir, what I can sacrifice on behalf of him. And that's how she changed. That was it, feel. But it's very fascinating, exactly the way she was misspelled. This is the way it happened. Yeah, Rabbi Yisai. Further, v'havas noshim. V'havas noshim. Regarding the other ahava was the ahava that a person, of course, this is misguided. That's easy to understand. Ahavas noshim, a person becomes attracted to women. Of course, how destructive that can be. So it says here, the Yochid Tzadikim, v'havas noshim ti al derech zeh. He says, ahavas noshim, he says, should take form, he says, the following consideration. First of all, he should realize, he should understand. She recognizes all the benefits that his wife provides for him. She saves him from chet. She spares him from sin. She keeps him away from promiscuity. He has a wife. It is to the wife that is in the midst of having children. There's so many positive things, so much reason that he owes a debt of gratitude to his wife for all the things that he gets from her. She rears his children. She serves him all her life. She prepares the food, the shatzar, chabayis, and other household chores. As a result, he might have a little more time also to learn. It turns out that she really assists him. And it fits in as it says in Bereishis. So the idea is to take the base love of human instinct and raise it up to a higher level and truly understand what the purpose of life is all about. And this is the way that it stays controlled and it stays within the parameters of permissible. Also the ahava that a person has to his father and mother also should be raised to a higher level. That a person should take in consideration that they raised him and they labored to teach him the ways of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. They showed him the way and they guided him to the mitzvahs. And also by honoring them is mekayim a special mitzvah of kabed esavicha v'semecha. They are vehicle for him to be able to be mekayim this tremendous mitzvah. Behem yekayim mitzvah saburi yisborech. Kedachsev kabed esavicha v'semecha. And regarding other members of his family, the ahava that a person has to other members of his family, to his brothers and sisters, the echo of achiyosov and his brothers and his sisters, ushar kroiv of another close relatives, also yev al derozeh. The love that he has should not be misguided, should not be misplaced. Meaning, that if they are occupying themselves to elevate his character, certainly that is a most honorable reason to have a love for them. And they assist them to serve Hashem. And he also in turn, he should be occupied with them, to teach them and to reprove them, without playing favorites. Because the true friend really is interested in the true benefit, not which merely on the outside. And them should not be playing favorites, but rather point out what's really right, point out what is appropriate, and point out what might be not appropriate. And it will be rewarded greatly. The Yimidah Gedoyloi says this is a tremendous character trait. To be honest with one's relatives, kedersiv, as it says, v'cherpo loynoso al keroivoi, which means, according to the interpretation of the Chassadik, it means v'cherpo, which means shame, is like this. V'cherpo loynoso al keroivoi means that one does not bear shame because of his relatives. In other words, just because they're your relatives does not mean that it's a cover up, that you're going to keep covering up because of the love that you have for your relatives and let them do things that might be corruptive, things that are wrong. But rather, one should try to bring out the truth in a nice way, it has to be a respectable way, in a derchezdig way. But that is really where the true love, when you have true ahava, then you have most interest to see to it that things are done the correct way, are done properly. There are many benefits that a person can glean through one's relatives. Like we find by Loit. Loit, we find, first of all, Shitziloi Avrom Vinilcham Aviro. We find that Loit was saved, right? Loit was saved through Avraham Avinu, who went to war in order to take him out of captivity, as we know. In addition to that, we know also the Gam B'Sodom. When it came to Sodom, when Sodom was overturned, Loit was spared. Nitzel B'Schus Avraham. It says in Bereishis, it says, if you remember, Vahi B'Shaches Elikim, it says, it's Orei HaKikor, when Hashem was destroying the plain, right? The area. It says, Vayish Skoyer Elikim is Avram. Hashem remembered Avram, and what does it say? Vayishlach es Loit mitoich afecho. So clearly, what do you find? Why was Loit spared? Vayishlach es Loit, why? Because Vayish Skoyer Elikim is Avram. It's because of Avram. The Yehav Reo Vishal Kol B'nei Sol Ahav Shalema. The truth is, the person should love his fellow and every Yid. Should be a complete Ahav, a complete love. L'kayim HaShenema, what it says, V'ahavto L'reacho K'moicho. V'zeu klal godol b'toyre. V'haftol reacha k'moicho. This is a klal godol b'toyre. As Rabbi Kiva said, this is a very important principle in the Torah. And by the way, also, which is mentioned in other mafarshim, v'haftol reacha k'moicho is a klal godol b'toyre. Because many of the mitzvahs of Torah, of course, involve inyonim to be very, very careful. Not to take what doesn't belong to you. Leisignoiv, leisigzel, all the various lavim. What about the midos? Kina, jealousy, anger. If a person has the midah of a haftal reacha kamoicha, that's going to help them, right? From being over on many mitzvahs of Torah. That's what it means. Zeh klal godol b'toyre. But haftal reacha kamoicha is going to prevent you and going to allow you to be mikayim many, many mitzvahs of Torah. Many mitzvah Torah that you would be apt and you would be tempted to be over, but because you have ahava, how can I steal from him if I really love him, if you really have ahava to him? How can I really get angry, lose my temper if I really have ahava to him? And so on and so forth. The ahava, if you have to somebody else, will help you keep many mitzvah Torah. That's what it means, that called Golub Torah. That which you hate to be done to you, unto you, do not do to your fellow. Godl mizeh. Above that is because Kimitzelim Elikimos Sodom, because Hashem created man in His image. Hashem created man in His image, and therefore every person is supposed to be respected because of the Tzelim Elikim, also Sodom. It is Yidua what the Rishalmi brings in Masechtas Nedarim. The Rishalmi brings in Masechtas Nedarim, brings Rishalmi in Perites. It says Leisikoim Leisitor. It says the person should not take Nekomi, don't take revenge. And don't, right? And don't preserve hate. Don't keep hate within your heart. Don't keep hate. Don't preserve hate. And the Rishalmi says, it's against human nature. How can a person really come to the Madreg? Rishalmi asks that. The Rishalmi says, the Loshon, he says, Hech Avida, Loshon Rishalmi. Hech Avida means, how is it possible that a person can so easily be Meichel? And revenge, it's just a natural human trait. He did this to me, it's only natural, I want to do it back. And the Rishalmi answers, the way the Kormed explains, is very simple. Can you imagine, you probably heard that mashal many, many times, a person has, let's say, a piece of meat in his hand, in his left hand. He takes a knife in his right hand. He's cutting slices of meat. And while he's cutting the slices of meat, he makes a mistake, and his hand cuts his own hand. Instead of cutting a piece of meat, his right hand cut into his left hand. Is the left hand going to punish the right hand? You can start punching the right hand? It's the same person, you're punishing yourself. The left hand can't punish the right hand, because the right hand and the left hand are all one. You're punishing yourself. So the Rishalmi said, when you're punishing another yid, you're punishing yourself. Because all Klal Yisrael, they're all one. Every yid in relation to another, it's like one is the right hand and one is the left hand. The same way that everybody understands, if the right hand, by mistake, comes to the left hand, you're not going to punish the right hand. The left hand is going to take revenge. The left hand is not going to take revenge by punishing the right hand, because you're punishing himself, he's punishing himself. Every yid in relation to another, right hand, left hand, we're all part of one. Different limbs of the same body. It's the same corporation. It's one large goof, which is called Klal Yisrael. That's really part of it, right? That's really it. That's it. That's what it is. Because we view ourselves as being all one. There are many, many other perushim. We can't go into that right now, but possibly we'll be myself now. We'll stop over here. We'll take a look at the sheet, because I wanted to take out one aspect of Kabbid Yisavich of Semecho, which one, the ahava that a person has to a father and a mother. The ahava that a person has, and to see a little bit of an essay that Rav Shim Schwab wrote in the Sefer Mayin Beis HaSheva in Parshas Yisroi. It's a very, very interesting article or an essay that Rav Shwab wrote regarding Kibud Av Ve'Em. So let's take a look, Rabbi Yisai, at it. Alright? Kabbid Yisavich HaSemecho, mitzvah of honoring your father and mother. L'man yorichon yomecho, the Torah promises you arichas yomim, it'll extend your life. Al hadoma asher Hashem elokecha noisen loch. Right? On the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you. Now, the Kiddushin Laman Aleph, we know the Gemara himself, the Kiddushin, the Gemara asks, a question was raised, to what extent, how far does honor, the obligation of honoring one's parents, how far does it go? What's the border? Where does it end? How far does it go? The Gemara says, Boy mine Merav Ule. Ishailah was asked, Ad heichem kibud av ve'em. How far does the obligation of kibud av ve'em go? Omar Hemesi said, I'll give you a moshel, he said. I'll tell you a maisel. Learn from the following episode. So Ueru, go out and see my also Ovid Kechovim. Take a look what a non-Jew, alright, he's giving him an example from a Gentile. Take a look what an Ovid Kechovim echod ba'ashkelon. There was an Ovid Kechovim Megoy in Ashkelon with Doma ben Asina Shemoy. His name was Doma ben Asina. Parachas, Bikshu Chachomim Parkematye. The Chomim wanted to buy a certain schoira from him. He had something, he had something to sell, very important, that they needed. B'shishim ribo ischar. They wanted to give him 60 times 10,000. 60 times 10,000 coins. 60 times 10,000 coins. The only problem was, the key to the safe was under the pillow of his father. And Doma ben Asina did not want to wake up his father in order to get the key. It meant that he was ready to sacrifice, losing a tremendous fortune, in order to spare, right, tzar of his father. Gemara tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu repaid him, right, what happened later on, without going to all the HaKadosh Baruch Hu repaid him. But the point is, Rav Schwab asks, if we, as Jewish people, if we want to figure out and want to learn the extent of Kibud Av V'Em, is the only place to learn out what a non-Jew did? I mean, we have to go to a non-Jew? I mean, isn't there any Jewish source for that? Is there any place that we can find? And if not for that, why do we have to point to him? Is there no other place to learn the extent of Kibud Av V'Em? V'chol aloi mid mamrzei, he says, Yisma. Whoever learns this mimer, he says, stands back and he wonders, Mazev al mazev sheivi uraya likim mitzvahs Kibud Av V'Em oivet kechovim. Why is it that the only, that seems that it's the only place, no more sources. The only source to find out is to find out from a non-Jew. So our Schwab says as follows, Hina heruni chazal, chazal have taught us, Samedrish and Vayikra, Derech eretz kodmo l'toyre chobov doiris, which means as follows, from the time of creation, from the time of Bria Soilom, till the Torah was given, right, it was a few thousand years.
26.
It was 26 generations. 26 generations. The Torah was not given until 26 generations from creation. But Derech Eretz already existed from the time of Bria Soilom. Derech Eretz kodmo l'Torah. Derech Eretz preceded Torah. Derech Eretz means Midrash Tovis, proper behavior. Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz preceded Torah. Derech Eretz preceded the kodmo l'Torah chov of doiris. So Rav Schwab points out, in what it means, what does Derech Eretz mean? Derech Eretz really means is, V'nirei says, Shenichel u'bozeh, Kol ha-midois ha-toivois, it really means, Derech Eretz doesn't mean only one type of, it means all the midois toivois, all, it's the all-encompassing. All the midois toivois, last is tzedakah u'mishpat, to do things in a proper way, to do things in a righteous way. Shehoira, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Adam Rishon, Kodesh Baruch Hu taught Adam Rishon, Limsel Doiris Aboim. Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he created man, he not just created man. He created man by giving him a way of life. Interesting thing. It was no Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave over to Adam Rishon. Adam Rishon being the first man to transmit human behavior. What does it mean to be a human? Adam Rishon was the first human being. Adam Rishon was given, as we say, the book of instructions, as it were. What does it mean to be a human being? How do you function as a human being? What to behave a human being? What is a human being supposed to do to be defined appropriately as a human being? Or the Rishon was given by Kodesh Baruch Hu, was given the teachings and the values that he should transmit it. What's the proof to that? Shragam b'neinoya chayovim lisnaig b'midas toivis. Rashab goes on, I didn't bring all the rice, you'll see some of them. Because even a Benoyach only has seven mitzvahs, midas toivis are part of his, as you say, repertoire. It's part of it, he says. Ben Noach also is mechoyv midas toivis, but derech eretz hu chiyev gomer shechal aleim noisav al sheva mitzvahs. So when you know that Ben Noach, right, a non-Jew has seven mitzvahs, that's besides derech eretz. Derech eretz is not counted. That's a separate chiyev. That's for being human. Derech eretz is a separate mechayv to be a human being. Kechayovim mitzvah, he said, besides this, in other words, the sheva mitzvahs, that's a mitzvah. There's no mitzvah for a non-Jew to be at Baal Decheretz. The Seichel's Machayev. This part, to justify being a human being, that's what it is. The Chayim Atzinim is Doim. And he brings a number of riots. I just brought down a few. For example, Sodom. Sodom was overturned. Why was Sodom punished? So we know there's many, many atrocities, but specifically, I'm going to ask you something. Sodom was punished because they didn't do tzedakah. Tzedakah is not one of the seven mitzvahs. So they didn't do achnosas orchim. They didn't bring in guests. So they didn't. Some of the seven mitzvahs. Says Rav Schwab, Hine zehu, the pasuk Yecheskel, Hine zehu avoin sedoim, ve'yad oni, ve'ev yoin lo hechziko. So Yecheskel says clearly, that was the chait. There's a drosha saranon that also has his own mahalach about that. V'chozem misparish, says Rav Schwab, he says, this to be understood, is l'fish b'nei noyach nenoshim al midas rois. What did he say? Eben noyach is punished ben hashemayim for midas rois, for not behaving as a human being. You don't need Torah for that. You have to be a Yid. The Ches is called Malatoyre. So the Ches called Malatoyre is not just for Jews. The Ches called Malatoyre goes on all of mankind. That's the Ches called Malatoyre. Vayin, he says, he brings down the Agdom of Rav Nissim Goyim. Now Nissim Goyim Lushas, and he says, listen what he says. It's Rabbeinu Nissim Goyim. That's not the Ran, it's Rav Nissim Goyim. He says, "Ki kol ha-mitzvah shen tloyim b'svara, all those mitzvahs that are so seicheldik, right? Ube'uvnesa d'libe, and it's the heart understands it, the havon of the heart. All mitzvahs that the heart understands that's appropriate." He says, "Ka hakol mischayvin b'hem min ayoyim asher bar alekim odem alo oretz." He says, "All of valzaril dardorim for all generations to come." So listen, go ahead. Because the seichel is mechayv. You're a human being. You can't behave like a chayeh. You don't need a mitzvah for that. The fact that you're a human being, that itself demands that you behave like a human being. Unless you're not justified to live as a human being. We find by Eev also. By Eev we find Shom Chazal, right? By Eev, Job. It says in Bava Basad after his voice, it says, Shoyevatrum b'mamoinoi. Eev mevat had an open hand. He'd be mevater. He'd be very generous when it came to his money. All Sefer Eiv talks about the tremendous smiles of Eiv. According to most opinions, Eiv was not Jewish. Look at the bottom here. Look there. V'chose Abshlohoyu Elu Hamaisim. He says Bechlal Tzivu Vnenoyach Ulerayv Hadeiris. Look here on top, next column. Ulerayv Hadeiris Bebov Abaset Tezvav Lohoyu Eiv Mebnei Yisrael. No. Eve was not a Bnei Yisrael. And look, go through Eve. Go through Eve and see all the tremendous midas in the malas toivis of Eve. Why? What? When? Where? What's the machayev? Why? He's the Elishim Mekor, the source, chi of the Recheres, Misarat Tzelem Elikim. You have it, Tzelem Elikim. You were created in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Hisig of the Merishim in Yonam Elu. And of the Merishim, here he says Hisig. Himself was able to, right, to understand what it means. In any case, he said, and Mosra Mr. Labonavachra. Now, says Rav Shavya, having said that, that even Bnei Noach become punished for Midas Rois, because that's not part of the Shevim, it doesn't have to be part, it's not the Torah's mitzvah. It's possible that basic humanity is Machayev that. Uma'ato Nire. So now says Rav Shav, Shechutz Menatzivu Yisrael, Kabir Sovicha Vesemecho, listen to this. Kibbut Avim is a mitzvah. Rav Shav says, besides being a mitzvah, it's part of Midrash Tovis, even if it would not be a mitzvah. Kabbalah Zvichas Emecho, it says. It happens to be a mitzvah for us as Eden. So a non-Jew doesn't have the mitzvah of Kabbalah Zvichas Emecho, but he has a chiv also. Not mitzvah mitzvahs kibbalav, mitzvah chiv of their cheretz kodmah l'toyre. So Benoyach also has that chiv. Benoyach also has that chiv, as he points out. He says, besides the fact that it's a mitzvah, yeshno midat toivish ol kibbut avim gamke. The gam b'nei noyach chayovim oleo. The Rosh Hashanah says, b'nei noyach is chayiv, he says. Even though there's no mitzvah, it's not part of the seven mitzvahs. He's chayiv. He says, v'hachiv shaloi, he says, shalonu, alchiv is mitzad mitzvah. Alchiv mitzad mitzvah. Who should call our bosses, he said, and he goes on to point out, he says, Shekola Bozeh Shalamidah Toive Shalkibud Avi. He's very interesting, he says. Because if taking Kibud Avi aim, if it's not Mitzad Mitzvah, it's Midah Toive. What's the Midah Toive? Why is Kibud Avi Midah Toive? Why be Mechabed? Why honor your parents more than another human being? Why? Kakor Satoif. Kakor Satoif means you have to acknowledge, right? The good that they did for you. In other words, the Midah Toive that's Mechayev The midatoyv that's machayev kibud aveim. What? That's the hakoras atoyv that you have to have your parents. You have the koras atoyv. What's the koras atoyv? The midatoyv, the koras atoyv, shegidlu, they raised them, the chinchu, they educated them. Avul b'tzir, he says very beautiful, he says, if the chiv kibud aveim, look what Rav Shaul said, if chiv kibud aveim from benoyach is not misad mitzvah, misad midatoyv, the basis of midatoyv kibud aveim, he says, for a non-Jew, is hakoras atoyv. So what happens if the father abandoned you? The father abandoned you. He left you when you were born. Right? Just abandoned you. Ibn Noyach says Rav Shaul would not have the chiv of kibud av for that father. He said, HaKoras HaToyv was HaKoras HaToyv to him. But as a Yid, I still have a chiv. That's a mitzvah. That's the difference. Because by a Yid, besides being a midat toiv, we have it as a mitzvah. Ibn Noyach doesn't have a mitzvah of kibud av. It's not part of the seven mitzvahs. But he has a chiv of der cheres to be mechabed, to honor his parents. But his chiv to honor his parents is what? It's because of HaKoras HaToyv. But then, when is that true? If there is a symbol of a koras atoyv, he says, "Then avgadi avul b'tzir." But imagine the example. Shloi also ha'hoyrim klum binyan gidulish l'adem. But what about in the situation where parents did not contribute anything in raising the child? But osvoy, so they abandoned him, left him on the street, like the baby on the doorstep, you know. Achibo acherim, then somebody goes finds the baby and the garbage dump there, right? Finds the baby, they get luhu mishalahem, and somebody else comes and raises that child. There's no chiv akoras atoyv to one's parents if it's only because of akoras atoyv. Was nimso shein ala ben chiv akoras atoyv lahoiru to his parents. Shuvein lachayv es haben noyach. In such a case, there's no reason to be mechayev the ben noyach, the non-Jew. He says bekiv with mitzad midatoyva. Avol says Rav Shwab. Be mitzvah satoyre. But regarding the mitzvah satoyre, shuv kibud ein akein. That's where we pick up. Our chiv kibudav picks up where it ends by a ben noyach. You know, our mitzvah of kibud is a mitzvah shebechol oifen chayovim lechabed es ahoyrim. On all circumstances, we have a mitzvah to honor our parents. Shayhishva kodesh brochu kibiyochel es kevoidim lechvoidoi. Kodesh brochu compared, equated the honor to parents like honoring him. Kodesh brochu said the honor to your parents like honoring me. The same way you have an obligation to honor me, kodesh brochu, the same with your parents. Gemara Kedushin says, v'hayne do'om rabula. Now we can understand. The question was, why is he pointing out? Why is he pointing out? He asked them the extent, right? The Gemara, the question was, what's the extent of Chiyav Kibud Aveim? So he pointed out the example of how far a non-Jew went. So the question was, you have to find a source from a non-Jew. So Rashab says like this. Rabula said, Su'uru, you want to know the extent of Kibud Av? Find out ma also if it kechov imechot bashkelon. Kloimer. So u'iru ad heche magi achiev shol kibud mitzad amido. In other words, from the non-Jew you learn out chiev kibud aven mitzad amido toiv alone. Not mitzad mitzvah. That's what you learn from the non-Jew. From the non-Jew you find how far kibud aven goes mitzad amido toiv. You find out. U'bemokim shachiev sholem nigmar. But when their chiev ends, we just begin. Ours goes beyond that, because our chiev is not just because of a midah toivah. Our chiev of kibud aveim is because there's a mitzvah, as he shows. And even if one's parents are not worthy at all, right? Mitzad akoras atoiv. As far as the akoras atoiv is concerned, even though they don't deserve it. They didn't do anything for you, just the opposite. They could have destroyed you. Right? So Meli says, nevertheless, there's a chiev, he says, there's a very, very extra special chiev. Just want to mention to you, Rabbi Isai, that matter of fact, the Chayo Odom Paskins, it's a very important thing. Chayo Odom Paskins, that Chiev Kibudav, honoring your father, your mother, does not just mean doing actions of honor, which of course, honor him. Right? You know, part of that means is your father comes in, you get up, you show honor, you show respect. There's the inyan of kibudav and yira, which means you have to have reverence. Reverence means don't sit in his chair, right? All these things, call it. That's the derech ha-toyrah. But let's say somebody has a father. Let's say there's not much reason really to honor him as a person. Extreme, he may be drunk. He may be a person who's has all types of negative modes of behavior. Chayodom says, the mitzvah of honoring your father demands that you sit down and find at least one thing that you have that you to respect him. In other words, every human being, no matter how lowly, there has to be something about him right? That deserves respect. And may take time. It may take time to figure out. Some people, their whole behavior is so... But there is some aspect in every human being. There's something good about him. And if it's your father, part of Kibbud Av is not just to act honorable to him, but to find something, reason to respect him. That's Kibbud Av. And that's the mitzvah of Kibbud Av. That's the special here that we as him have. Okay, right.